1 Corinthians 13. Or if you don't have your scripture, that text is printed in your bulletin. About 10 days ago, I received a letter. It was just addressed to the church and had attention, just pastor, not Pastor Coleman or just pastor. I'm assuming that this individual sent letters to many of churches. No name is associated or assigned to it. But this is what it says. Dear God, please help me. All I can think about is putting a bullet in my head. I just want to fall asleep and get away from all the pain and worry. I can't see your plan, and I'm utterly lost. Hundreds of your children kill themselves every year because they feel abandoned by you. I'm exhausted mentally and tortured with worry over my daughter. Sadness eats at my soul like acid. At this point, it'll take a real miracle to change her path. She is clearly lost. There is nothing normal about her life, and I don't know what or how to pray anymore. I have begged you to intervene in her life, but you have remained silent. I can't watch her suffering anymore. Where are you? Why have you turned away from me? I feel so betrayed. Why do you ask us to pray if you have no intention to help? I have waited on you for years, trusting that you are working things out in her life, but I don't know what to believe anymore. What do we do when we have run out of hope? I know the thoughts that I'm having are wrong. Please help me. I can't find my way back to you, and I feel so helpless. I am in quicksand, and it is pulling me into a deep, black hole. I need a miracle. It is my prayer that this letter will find its way into the right person's hands. Thank you. Over the last 32 years of working with people, I've encountered a lot of pain. My purpose today is not to try, as if I could, alleviate that pain, but to expose and hopefully explode a philosophy of life, a theology of life that has cruelly increased and exponentially so that pain. What makes this so challenging today is that this philosophy of life is so prevalent in the church. In fact, it's the only place that you will find it. It is held by, no doubt, many here today. Within the last month, someone has said this philosophy to many of you, or you have said it to someone else, or you have thought it. When I expose this, some of you are going to be shocked. Some might be angry at me. I would imagine that some are going to say to themselves, oh, wait a second, my mom taught me that. Or my grandfather used to say that to me. Or I heard Pastor so-and-so say that from the pulpit. Others of you are going to say to yourself, wait a second, that's in the Bible, isn't it? But I want to tell you, when you live out of this philosophy, this theology of life, you are setting yourself up for bitterness, and you may well end up where this individual has ended up, wanting to put a bullet in their head. You'd say, wow, Pastor, this is kind of a strange thing to be talking about on Mother's Day. Well, maybe, but maybe not. It's interesting because when this individual said, I want it to fall in the right person's hands, or maybe it fall in the right person's hands, the only thing I could think that would mean was that somebody would pray for them when they got this letter. And because it's a pretty heavy letter, I decided, well, I needed somebody else to pray for me, pray for this with me. So I took it in and I shared it with Tammy and Danette, our two secretaries. And then I shared it when I got home with Tracy, and we all prayed. And the thing that I found interesting is that all three, Tammy, Danette, and Tracy, automatically assumed that this was a mother that wrote this letter, although there is nowhere in this letter that it says that. It doesn't identify this as male or female. And I found that very interesting because I said to myself, wow, there's something about a mother that just absolutely connects with what this person is saying in this letter. Another reason that maybe it's appropriate that I discovered something since I had become a pastor. I did not realize this when I went to church. I didn't realize this when I was an associate pastor. But I realized and have come to understand that Mother's Day, for many, is one of the most painful days of the year. There are people who have lost their moms recently, like me. There are people whose children are estranged from them, and they haven't talked with them in years. And this day just kind of throws that in their face. There are those whose children are far from God, and they come and they pray and they probably sense a lot of what this woman, or this individual, I should say, wrote in her letter, or the letter. There are others who have had to walk through the valley and the pain and brokenheartedness of not being able to have children at all. Or others who have bought into the lie of our culture that is so prevalent, and having become pregnant, decided at some point in their life that abortion was the better way to go and have regretted it ever since. Yes, for many, Mother's Day is a painful day. But this message really isn't about Mother's Day. It is about a philosophy of life that sets us up to become angered, embittered people if we're not careful. You see, there was one line that I omitted when I read this letter earlier, because this is what the writer says. It's not true that you never give your children more than they can handle. This morning I'm talking about carry or carried. In other words, are you carrying the things and the burdens of your life, or are you allowing those to be carried? And the philosophy of life, which I have heard so many times, even in this church, this philosophy of life says this: God will never put on you more than you can bear. Now, it is said in a variety of ways. It is said God will never give you more than you can handle, as the letter indicates. Or it is said like this: God will never put on you more than you can bear. Let me say four things about this philosophy of life, this statement. First, it is not biblical, as you will soon see. Second, at best, it is a poor philosophy and theology of life. Third, at worst, it is diabolical. Go ahead and take that one off, Christy. I'm not ready for that one. Thank you. No. Thank you. Third, it is at worst diabolical. In other words, at worst, it comes from Satan himself. And fourth, it has caused tremendous amounts of stress and pressure and pain in countless lives. So my question is because this is so prevalent in the church, that God will never put on you more than you can bear, the question then we ought to ask is, where does this sentiment, where does this philosophy of life come from? Well, you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and if you don't have your Bibles, I want you to look there in the text that's printed in your bulletin, because where this philosophy of life comes from is in verse 13. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Somewhere along the line, some teacher, some preacher, some individual, somewhere reading that verse, first uttered those words. Well, you see there, God will never put on you more than you can bear. And voila. Unleashed on the church was a philosophy of life that has set people up countless number of times for this demanding spirit, this unbiblical expectation that has produced so much stress and so much pain. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because any verse gets its meaning in part not by just that particular verse, but by the context of the verses that surround it. So I want you to notice, as I walk us through very quickly 1 Corinthians 10, what the Apostle Paul is speaking about when he utters those words in verse 13. Beginning in verse 1, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, you understand what's going on. This is talking about Israel going through the desert. This is talking about Israel let go from Egypt on the Exodus. They're in the wilderness. And so this is the example, the Old Testament example that Paul is speaking about. Nevertheless, verse 5, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, most of those that were in the wilderness, you know, they wandered for 40 years, most of those died. Now look, verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do you begin to get the context of what Paul is speaking about? He's speaking about the Israelites as they wandered through the wilderness. He's speaking about all of the temptations that they were subjected to and the number of times that they failed. For instance, verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, we must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. Verse 9, we must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now look at verse 11. Now these things happened to them as examples, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, verse 12, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Can you get a kind of an understanding of what Paul is speaking about here? Speaking about all of the temptations, all the times Israel fell, all the times they turned their back on God, all the times they sinned, all the times they committed idolatry, all the times they committed sexual immorality. That is what he's talking about. Those are the temptations he's speaking about when he says in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, what you are experiencing, the temptation to sin, is not unique that you're experiencing. Do not think it's unique, Paul says. The temptation to sin is not unique, is common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted to sin, to idolatry, beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is not saying in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He will not put on you more than you can bear. He is not saying in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that He is not going to give you any more than you can handle. A few months ago, I was sitting in our room at my house. It was a time where I was feeling particularly a large amount of stress. I was feeling a lot of pressure. I felt very heavy in soul and very discouraged. And as I sat there, just all this kind of descending upon me, I sensed the Holy Spirit whisper to me. And what I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me were these words. He said, you're acting as if it's true. I knew exactly what he was speaking. He was speaking about this philosophy of life. He was saying to me, you're acting and living as if that philosophy that you do not embrace, you're acting as if you embrace it. You are acting as if I'm not going to put on more on you more than you can bear. And so there you are trying to uphold all of this stuff that you are stressed about, all of the stuff that you are feeling the weight of. And so there in my chair at our house, I whispered what actually is true. It is a very different philosophy of life, a very different theology of life. There in my chair, I whispered, now Christy, we can put that up. God will never put on you more than He can bear. As I whispered it, can I share with you what happened? There was an immediate sense of release. There was an immediate sense of kind of a... There was an immediate sense of peace. Because, you see, this is where the weight belongs. Because He is the one who is able to bear it. God will never put on you more than He can bear. Now, that is a nice philosophy of life. But the question that I hope you're asking, that we should be asking is it true? Well, I want to share with you this Lord's Day three statements and scripture, because I hope that as you walk out of here today, if you have been living under the unbiblical philosophy of life that God will never put on you more than you can bear, that God will arrest your heart, reorient your soul, and to embrace this biblical philosophy of life. What are the three statements? The first statement is this: He is willing. And by that, I want to say these words. Cast whatever you care you carry, cast whatever you carry on Him, because He cares for you. That's found in 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. In other words, that verse is an invitation. God is saying, all that you carry, I am putting it there, and I am inviting you now to prove my willingness, because so cast it on me. Because you see, beloved, what the Bible teaches is that God cares about what is producing that stress in your life. He cares about that. He cares for you. And He invites you, even today, to cast on Him everything that you're carrying. He is a willing God. He is not a God that is distant. He is not a God that is absent. But you see, if you live with the philosophy of life that God will not put on you any more than you can bear, where is the focus? Where is the attention? The focus and the attention is what I am having to bear, what I am having to carry. God says, that's not where I want your attention to be. Cast it on me. I am willing. Second statement, He is able. Cast whatever you carry on Him, because He can sustain you. You see, it's one thing to have a God who is willing, but what if we had a God who is willing and not able? There would not be a lot of comfort in that. There would not be a lot of peace in that. There would not be a lot of release in that. No, we have a God who is both willing and who is both able. Psalm 55:22 says this: cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. If you are experiencing or have experienced, or if you are getting ready in the sovereignty of God, getting ready to enter into a period of your life where you will experience a situation, a circumstance, a burden, whatever it is that feels too heavy for you, the approach is not to say, all right, I just got to buck up because God's not going to put on me any more than I can handle. No, the idea is to begin to say to yourself, God is not going to put anything on me that He cannot bear. He is not going to put on me anything that He can't handle. He is both willing and He is able to sustain you, whatever you're carrying. Third state, He is there. Maybe at some point you're going to be like the writer of this letter. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you have come here because that's what you do on Sunday. And I'm not dismissing that. That's important. But maybe down deep inside where nobody sees but God, you're not too far away from where this woman or this, yeah, I'm making the same mistake, this person says. Maybe you are at the end of your rope. Maybe you're at a place where you have run out of hope. Listen, when you don't have the strength to even cast, God carries you and whatever you carry. When you don't have the strength to even cast, He carries you and whatever you carry. There are going to come times in our life because even the thought of, all right, I'm just going to cast this on the Lord. I'm just going to give this over to God. Sometimes you get to a place, maybe a place similar to the writer of this letter. You're going to come to a place where you say, I don't know if I even have the strength for that. Well, listen, folks, understand that God, during those times, carries you and whatever it is that you're carrying. Several months ago, well, actually, what I decided to do this year was I was going to spend 4 months in Isaiah for my quiet time, 4 months in Jeremiah, and 4 months in Ezekiel. So I'm now in Jeremiah. But my 4 months in Isaiah were some of the most thrilling times I've had with the Lord in all my Christian life. And as I was reading through Isaiah, I came across God directed my heart. I have really embraced this for myself. I encourage you to brace it for yourself. Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. Listen to what the prophet says. Read what the prophet says. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am He. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. You see what God is saying? God is saying to you and to me, God is saying to His people, I will never place on you more than I can. Which takes the attention off yourself, which is a good thing, and places it squarely where it needs to be, which is on God, and allows you to say to God, God, I can't carry this, and God says, I know. I have to give this to you. And God says, don't ever stop doing that. Because even to your old age, I am He, and to your gray hairs, I will carry you. Bruce Larson is a psychologist, counselor, writer, speaker, who spent a number of years in New York City counseling. And Bruce Larson, in his little book, Believe and Belong, tells about what he used to do sometimes, as he would be talking and counseling to people, Some of these people, they would be struggling about where to give their lives to Jesus. They'd be struggling about, they'd be struggling with something, and Larson would be talking to them about coming to Christ and all that, and they would be struggling about just surrendering to Christ. Others would be dealing with situations and circumstances in their life, much like the writer of this letter, much like maybe some of you here today, just really feeling greatly burdened. And in the midst of the counseling session, on numerous occasions, Bruce Larson would say, I want you to come with me. And they would walk out of his office, go out into the streets of New York City, walk down a few blocks to the RCA building, which is on Fifth Avenue, I think. I can't remember exactly where it says in the book. And they walk in, and in the lobby of the RCA building is this beautiful sculptured statue of Atlas. He's ripped, obviously. His muscles are straining. He's bending like that. And on his shoulders, and he's got his hands underneath it, is the world. And there is Atlas, straining, struggling, this mighty man in this statue, holding up the whole world, barely able to do it, but holding up the whole world, this incredible statue. And Larson would look at his client. He would say, now that's one way to live. Now come with me. And they would walk right across the street where there was St. Patrick's Cathedral. And they would walk into the beautiful sanctuary, and up on the altar, behind the altar, there is the statue of a shrine and a statue of about Jesus when he was 8 or 9 years old. And there he is with kind of a smile on his face, and he's like that with no effort at all, and in his hand is the world. And Larson would look at his client and he would say, now that's the other way to live. I think God would say that to us today as well. God would say, this is one way to live. To live with the philosophy of God is never going to put on me more than I can bear. And to strain under that weight and to hold up that weight and to feel circumstances and situations sometimes feeling like they're swirling out of control, thinking to yourself, I can't take one more thing, and then one more thing's added on to us, and we're sitting there going, he's not going to put on me more than I can bear. God, what are you doing? Don't you see I can't bear this? That's one way to live. But then there's another way to live. The other way to live is to say, God is never going to put on me more than he can bear. And to breathe. And to feel the release. And to realize that he's got the whole world truly in his hands. And it's no effort at all. And neither is what you carry. Because I want to tell you what it's not, beloved. Listen. This is what it's not. It is not God is trying to prove to himself how strong you are. That is not what this Christian life is about. That is not what this pilgrimage is about. That is not what this walk of faith is about. That is not what it means to walk with God. That is not what it means to walk. God is not up in heaven sitting there going, I'm going to prove to myself just how strong you are. That's not what this is. What it is God is trying to prove to you how strong and good he is. So I'd like you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and I want you to whisper. I want you to just, first of all, I just want you to kind of get quiet, and I want you to feel whatever is burdening your life right now. Maybe it is a situation with your children. Maybe it is something with a job. Maybe it is something in the home you live. Maybe it's something to do with your marriage. Maybe it's something to do with your finances. Maybe it's something to do with something that I have, just feel whatever it is that's
crowding in around your heart and in your soul, that's adding that pressure, that's bringing that burden. Feel the weight. Listen, God is not in heaven trying to prove to himself how much you can carry. All right, feel the weight. Now here's what I want you to simply whisper to yourself. God will never put on me more than he can bear. Let's say it again. God will never put on me more than he can bear. One more time, a little bit louder. God will never put on me more than he can bear. God, I am so grateful this morning that we serve a God who is not trying to prove to himself how strong we are, but is trying to prove to us how strong and good he is. I'm so grateful, God, that this walk of faith is about us proving your willingness, your ability, your presence, your strength, your love, your care, your goodness. It's all about you, God. It's not about us. It's not about me. And Lord, I would imagine that there are some folks in this room today that are carrying quite a lot. And maybe some, Lord, have lived under that philosophy of life that has made them a little bit like that Atlas statue, bearing, straining under the weight. Lord, I pray today for each one of us, we would live in the glorious good news that you will never put on us more than you can bear, because the whole object of this is for us to prove who you are, and that we are invited by Scripture to cast upon you all of our anxiety, all of our burden, all of our care, all of our worry, all of our weight, all of the things, Lord, that continue to burden and stress our soul. And there is nothing, nothing in anyone's life here today that you aren't both willing and able to bear. Even to our old age, you are he. And to our gray hairs, you will carry. You have made and you will bear. You will carry and you will save. And God, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but to me that is really good news. Because sometimes, God, even though intellectually I know it's not true, emotionally and practically in my life, I live like it is. And I find myself bearing things and worrying about things and stressing about things and missing the invitation that simply says, that simply you simply say with hands outstretched, cast it upon me. I can bear it. I can hold it. I can lift it, and you as well. Lord, give us the grace to believe what your word clearly teaches and to live in the freedom and the release of how you want your children to live and relate with you. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, beloved. In just a moment, we're going to sing our final hymn. It speaks about our chains being gone. Maybe that's a little bit how you feel. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, and the chains that you feel are there and they're real. By the grace of God, those chains can be gone through faith in Christ. But maybe you're here today and you're already a Christian. And to walk through life and to you're feeling the weight. God in His gracious goodness says, cast it on me. He invites you to do that. He invites you to live the philosophy that says He will never put on you more than He can bear. If while we're singing you desire just to come and kneel at this altar, please come. If there's a decision to be made, I'll be down front. If you want to come and pray, come pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for giving us this opportunity just to cast upon You. Thank You for Your amazing grace. We pray in Christ's name. Would you stand with me to